Welcome to Church Media HQ. I am your host, Luke Clayton. And before we get started, I want to remind you, remember to subscribe wherever you're listening to podcast or on YouTube. And if you are watching by way of YouTube or Facebook, we'd really appreciate it if you gave this video a like. Also, if you want to be super generous, leave us a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think. And that also helps this content get seen by other church leaders like you. Well, today I am joined by special guest Tim Rabin. He is an associate pastor who oversees media, amongst other things, at Beacon Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. He's been there for over 16 years, and we're excited to have him with us today. I do have a question, you know, and maybe this is something you guys are developing or already have, but let's paint a hypothetical scenario here. Let's say you do get someone watching from, let's say, the other side of the country, you know, somewhere on the West Coast, or, you know, somewhere that's not local in your area where they can't actually, they couldn't physically drive and attend your church. And, you know, they start to engage, they start to watch, they start to show interest in, you know, could be any scenario. Maybe they are new. Maybe they do come to Christ through watching your church online, or maybe they kind of have their, you know, they were going to church and it's kind of how they get reconnected, regardless of the situation. And they say, well, yeah, I do want to do more. But obviously we can't get involved with your church due to physical distance. Do you guys have a process or an approach, or have you dealt with that? Or is there something in the works of how you would deal with that if you encounter that situation?
Yeah. So we don't currently have a process for that. I've been kicking around the idea of creating a web location for church online to live, and that it would have opportunities to serve, opportunities to connect, maybe a good church directory to help them find a church in their local area. Something we did at Easter this year that worked really well for us. Church was online. We couldn't have church in person because of our laws here in North Carolina. And we had people sign up to serve online as chat host. And we had, six or eight services. We started at 10:30 a.m., which is our normal time. And we had services about every, every 3 hours maybe, up until 10 p.m. And last service of the night was 10 p.m. Wow. Interesting note, 10 p.m. was one of the most popular times of the day, actually. Because, really? You know, you got a global audience. But we had people sign up, and we said, hey, here's what we want you to do. We want you to be online during those time, during the time you sign up to serve. So we sent them a little informational thing, instructional thing about how they could serve. They could be on there. They could be greeting people in the chat. They could be commenting, just like an amen and thing adds atmosphere to the service. They would do the same thing in church online. They would throw out a quote. They would do those kinds of things. So we encourage people to sit a service and serve a service. Have one service where you just, you know, really let the Lord speak to your heart, and then have one service where you actually serve in that service. And so that would be the next level. I can tell you, cool, throwing out an individual church here that does this well, I think, at getting people to serve online. And again, you know, whatever, doctrinal different things aside, Elevation Church, and based out of Charlotte, North Carolina, they're online. Ability to get people to serve is pretty remarkable. So they, in my opinion, are the best at the church online model. Life Church started it, but I feel like they've taken it to another level. And it's like elevationchurch.online. And so you can sign up to serve on there. So they do have chat hosts on there. They have people that are under the prayer team. And what the prayer team does is the prayer team, they pray for all of the requests that are given to them. They pray for those requests. They have a welcome team that get together, and they reach out to people who have been first-time guests online. They reach out to them during the week. And so it's pretty remarkable that they have all of these opportunities for people to serve that are online. Now, they've taken their philosophy is called watch parties. And so they have watch parties of 100 people and stuff. And that's how they start churches, is generally off. It starts as a watch party. It grows and grows and grows. And a watch party becomes a location. But yeah, they've done a really good job of getting people to serve online. Now we're in different little. We're going to differ because we believe in the local church as a physical location, in that every believer ought to be a member of a local church. And so we would not encourage someone in a ministry group I'm in. They had a debate: can you accept someone as a member of your local church from afar? And it was fun to watch. And basically, that's it's a false question, because how can a member of your local church not get those kinds of things? So we're not trying to get people to tithe to our church or anything like that. We believe in the local church. We're looking at it as how could they then actually be involved. Now, the serving piece is something that we would offer, more likely to offer, to someone who physically could not get out and go to church, whether that is where I am here in Raleigh, North Carolina, or whether that's in Kalamazoo, Michigan, if they can't get out and go to church, maybe. It'd be more of that side of it. People who maybe were incapable of church, or for different work reasons maybe, or something like that, could. So we haven't broached into that, and except for that Easter experience last year, but it went really good. People really responded well to approaching digital ministry. I tell you, another version of digital ministry that we're talking about right now, we have partnered with a ministry called CV Outreach. They're part of CV Global, and they'll help churches get we found about after the fact our church has a $10,000 a month Google ad grant, and so we're able to spend up to $10,000 a month on Google ads. Well, it's hard to do if you never tried. And what CV Outreach does, they actually will help. They'll take over your ad account, and they push people to the gospel landing pages. They have pages for depression, and pages for anxiety, and pages for salvation, and pages for a divorce, and all these things. And they put all these churches in their global network. And if someone responds to a form and they're geographically near us, well, they take that and they send it to us. They forward their contact, and they run tons of all these different ads with this free money that churches get through this ad grant. And then we are working on setting up a ministry opportunity for people in our church that maybe they can't come. They are senior adult or different things, but they would be a counselor, be able to reach out to people, find out their need. Is it something we can actually talk through with them? Maybe we need to refer them to a Christian counselor, but it's a digital form of ministry. And it's kind of, I think, where we need to be heading, not moving ministry digital, but including digital in our ministry. There's a difference there. And we really want to look at those opportunities.
Yeah, that's good. It's we're not, I can't reword it the way you just said.
Yeah, we're not moving to digital ministry. We're including digital in our ministry.
Yes.
This is not ministry away from people. This is ministry to people in a different way that even you and I, our parents, could not have done. Just wasn't possible. It wasn't possible hardly 15 years ago, you know? But today it is.
I mean, really, it's kind of hard to believe. And by the way, thank you there. I was about to – you would think I could remember a quote I just heard 2 seconds ago. So thank you for repeating it for me. But no, it's hard to believe. You know, you said you've been there for 16 years now. And I have been in this as far as in a full-time capacity for just short of 10. And even when I started, it feels like it wasn't that long ago. Of course, that's just how it feels. That's called getting old. But, you know, it's crazy to see the difference in, you know, just upgrades in technology. Here's an example, a personal example. I, for years, used the same internet provider, you know, here in our at Comcast. You know, Comcast, they're big in our area. And for a while, you know, they had like a monopoly, so it was about all you could get. So for years I had them, and you know, not to get into all the technology and the breakdown of it, but they are basically delivering much of their internet speeds through, you know, the old copper coax cable wiring. They've done some with fiber, but they're in our area, that's the only way you can get it. And so, you know, I never really thought anything of it, and I was getting like 60 meg download, and I was fine with it. You know, I really didn't have any issues. Well, then they jacked the bill on me, so I said, I'm gonna start shopping around. Well, now AT&T fiber is in our area, so I said, I'm gonna look into that. And my internet speed is now like 10x what it was. I'm getting like 500 to 600 meg download. It'll peak up to 1,000. And you know, honestly, what I'm getting at is, you know, I knew I'd heard of it, but it just never really personally did I realize, like, internet has come so far, you know, in just the past, you know, 8 to 10 years that I've been using internet. I just kind of ignored, you know, AT&T for the longest time. I was with Comcast, whatever. And so, you know, it's crazy the advancement that has happened. And when we talk about 2020 alone, the statement I heard that might be a slight exaggeration, but there's some level of truth to it, is that 2020 was the year where we saw 10 years of technological advancement happen in 1 year. Sure. And a lot of that is to some extent true. And I don't know if the technology itself advanced or people as a society, we've adjusted to how we use it. And churches are a big example of that. And so, but yeah, so you talked about CV outreach. I think that's a good note or something to kind of keep in mind there for churches looking for help with that. Because I always forget that Google Ad Grant. I've heard of that before.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Now, and then, yeah, this idea of serving online, like giving people, I love that you made that, because I've heard that serve one, sit one mentality with a physical campus. You know, if we offer multiple services, we're going to encourage you to sit and enjoy and engage in one service, and then we're going to ask you to stick around for another one and serve. And I think that's great, but I just think it's awesome you guys took that approach when it was online only, and you apparently got some participation from that. Yeah. And so that's pretty awesome, because think of how easy it is to get involved on that level. Like, hey, you don't even got to leave, you know, your house, and you can serve. And I think that is, that's pretty cool. Now I'm going to shift gears a little bit, unless you've got, we've talked really good stuff here about Church Online. If you've got any final thoughts, I'd love to hear them. And then let's shift to this idea of something that we start talking about off the mic, if you will, about utilizing stories to engage people, more or less. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's a great idea. So I'd love to move into that part of the conversation.
Yeah, I don't know. A number of years ago, I came across a church in Oklahoma, actually. It's called Church on the Move. And Church on the Move was a church. I watched some of their online stuff, and I noticed that they were utilizing the testimonies of people in just a unique way. And I mean, this was a number of years ago, and they were telling the stories. And we all know, when we hear preachers, we love preachers who take the Bible and take illustration like Jesus did and marry those together. And they tell a story that captivates you, makes you laugh, makes you cry. And they give you a Bible truth. And man, I was really challenged about stories. Now, just like if you ever do any public speaking, you go, man, I just don't have the stories. You know, that David Gibbs says, like, all these stories. I don't have the stories. Whoever your favorite evangelist is, he's got all these stories. And I heard one of those guys say one time, you do have the stories. I just write them down. And we all have things happen to us. We just don't always take note of them because we're not maybe always on a platform. Well, as a church, I think as a church, you look and go, man, I wish we had a story of life change like that. If we had those stories, we would tell them. And what I would encourage churches is to say, if you have saved people in your church, you have those stories. Mm-hmm. You've got stories of life change. And one of my favorite questions to ask people is two questions. You know, number one, how'd you come to know the Lord? Number two, how'd you find out about our church? And I'm fascinated to find out about how they came to know the Lord, how they came to know the church. And what I try to do, leading our media here, is kind of catalog those stories in my own mind. So when we go into a sermon series or whatever we may be emphasizing at the time, that we will tell those stories. Now, I think that story is important. It's finding the right way that certain people can tell their story. So, you know, the classic example, churches have always liked a testimony, right? A testimony is the unscripted telling of a story. But because it's kind of unscripted the way it is, you know, sometimes they get off the rope, they don't know how to shut it down, right?
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah.
We have pretty much somewhat moved away from just brother such and such come on up and share with us what the Lord did. And those can be good, and they have their place. But there's a few different things that ways that we've found that have been really beneficial for us to tell stories. Number one, maybe the way you'd be thinking of, and that is through video. So video adds an element that you just can't add in person. I remember telling the story of a guy in our church, and just the quick synopsis of his story is, man, as a youth, really young adult, just got in a bunch of trouble with the law and stuff, and he ended up being imprisoned about an hour from our church, Sanford, North Carolina, and that's where he served prison time. Well, his story goes, and he tells it in the video, that as he came to know the Lord. Well, we're shooting B-roll, and if you're watching this and you're like, I'm not sure what B-roll is. B-roll is just that footage that the videographer cuts to when he's not showing the person talking.
Yeah.
And so we shoot B-roll of him getting in his truck, and we do this thing. And as he gets to the final point and talking about how his life is taking him full circle, he's gone from being in prison in Sanford, and it's amazing. Now, once a month, he goes to the prison that he was at, and he preaches in that prison. So the B-roll that I shot showed him getting in his truck, traveling down the road, and the final thing is we're sitting in the parking lot of the Sanford prison. And so only video could do that, right? So video has its place. The second way that I like people to tell their story is journaling. This is very effective. I saw this done. Actually, I learned this from the church I mentioned, Church on the Move. They take you and they say, now write your story down and read it. Now, usually when we think of reading it, you think, reading can be boring. But what it does is it lets them write the story and actually say what they wanted to say, what they meant to say, instead of at the end going, man, I wish I would have said this or that. Never forget, we had the story of a guy on Father's Day one year. And he really grew up with his mom abandoned him at 5 years old. His dad was not a great dad. And I'd ask him to share his story about how he had learned, he's a great father, how he had learned to be a father without having a father, really because he had a heavenly father. Well, in the meantime, of me asking him to share that story, he ended up getting reconnected with his dad. So he writes all this down, and we give him like a leather journal or something that looks nicer. They get up there, have the pianist, or if you don't have a pianist that can do that, play some soft music behind them and let them share their story. And I'm telling you, it's powerful. We've had, I couldn't go through all the different stories. We've had people share their story in that way. And when they share their story, man, people connect with it. And I tell them this, I said, your story is going to connect with someone in our church that's in this situation, but it may not. This other situation, they say, praise the Lord. This other situation, they say, wow, that's me. A lady shared her story one time. She opened up a journal. And she had been a single mom for a number of years, and the Lord brought her to a relationship with a husband that they're now in our church and their family, and just an amazing story. She got saved in our church, and just really amazing what the Lord had done. And she had someone come up to her right after that service was over, and that lady had been in our church a number of years. And she said this, she said, my husband and I were considering leaving the church because we didn't think anybody else had gone through what we had gone through. But when you shared your story, man, I realized other people have the same struggles I do. Wow. Wow. Mm. That was through a story. So the personal story in a video, the personal story in that journaling, to me, have been the most powerful ways for someone to share their story. They've been really, really powerful. And so you just got to look. The stories exist. They're sitting in your pews. You just got to ask people. And they're going to get nervous. They are, but ask them. Would you share your story? Would you share what the Lord's done? Man, how awesome this a man in our church that came to know the Christ right after Easter a few years ago. He came to know the Christ in a revival service that was the week of Easter. He came Easter Sunday for the first time in his like 70s, and he just went home to be with the Lord. And man, we've got that story right there, knowing that. Will knows Christ and is going to heaven. It's just so awesome to have those stories for people to connect with and understand that the church is made up of real people, broken people who found the commonality in knowing Christ as their Savior.
Well, thanks again for joining us right here at Church Media HQ. We've been talking about Church Media HQ as far as what that means beyond just our podcast and YouTube content. We are providing creative content and resources for churches, things like designs, graphics, videos, and even creative coaching. And a lot of this is free, completely free of charge. If you head over to churchmediahq.com, you're going to learn more about these resources that we provide. And if you want a higher level of service and even more, look into Church Media HQ Premium. Church Media HQ Premium is the most affordable, full-service creative solution for churches. We're going to offer you, again, a collection of graphics and including source files and Photoshop files that you can edit yourself. And if for some reason that graphics collection doesn't have what you're looking for, then we're going to even deliver other graphics based and custom tailored to what your requirements and your specifications of what you need. We also include our video series and other video assets as part of the Church Media HQ Premium membership. And we offer priority coaching, which means you are going to be able to get on more coaching calls, get more help that are dedicated to your church specifically and helping you with your needs there. Again, just head over to churchmediahq.com if you are interested in either the free content or the premium content available through Church Media HQ. Well, until next time, I want to remind you, as always, you know what I'm going to say. In fact, you need to be the one saying it back to me. You know what it's time for. It's time that you try something new. Why? Well, because it is so much better to fail at trying the incredible than it is to succeed at doing just the average. We'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.